Well, we're there in Matthew chapter number 8, and if you remember, we've been going through, this is now the third sermon in our series about Follow Me. We've been learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you remember, on Easter, we started this series, and we talked about the fact that Jesus came, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to sinners, and he said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And we understand that we need Jesus, and we need to be followers of Christ. It's not just about salvation, but it's about changing our lives and following him. Last week, we talked about the fact that we draw lines in the sand, and we'll say, I'm not going to cross this line, and this is as far as I'm willing to go. We talked about, you know, lowering your net versus your nets and all those things. In Matthew chapter number 8 here, I'd like to bring your attention to verse number 18. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 18, the Bible says this. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And I want you to notice that that's the context of about what's about to happen is the fact that Jesus is busy. He's ministering. He's on the move. He's already set. He already gave commandment. He already told his disciples that we're going to depart and go on the other side. Verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master. Now notice what this guy says. This guy is excited. He says, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. This guy is excited. I mean, he comes to Jesus. He comes to this meeting with where Jesus is at. He sees the miracles. He sees the preaching. He sees the things that Jesus is doing. He says, I'm going to follow you. He said, I'm going to go wherever you go. He said, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. He was so excited. Now, notice in verse 20, Jesus is about to rain on this guy's parade. Because in verse 20, he says this. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes. And the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, notice what Jesus said. And Jesus, you know, he's just trying to be upfront with this guy. Because the guy shows up, he says, I will follow you. He said, I'll go wherever you go. He said, I want to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus says, that's great. That's good. But let me just warn you that the foxes have holes. The birds have nests. He says, the birds of the air have nests. He said, but I, because the Son of Man is a reference to Jesus. He said, I'm not really sure where I'm going to sleep tonight. I mean, Jesus said, I don't have a home. Jesus said, I'm homeless. He said, you know, I'm just kind of ministering and I'm kind of going and I don't have property. He said, you know, I just kind of, people will be kind to me and let me sleep, you know, in their houses and stuff as I'm traveling, as I'm preaching. He's like, you got to understand though, I may be sleeping on a park bench tonight. He said, you got to understand. And here's what you got to understand. If you will follow Christ, sometimes it'll be uncertain and sometimes it'll be uncomfortable. If you follow Jesus, sometimes the road that he'll lead you down may be a little uncertain. You may not exactly know where you're going to sleep the next night. You may not exactly know where the next meal is going to come from. You may have to learn to pray like Jesus taught, give us this day our daily bread. Because sometimes it's uncomfortable to follow Christ. And sometimes it's uncertain to follow Christ. Now, go with me to Luke chapter number 9, because I want you to notice in Luke 9, we have a parallel passage to the story, Luke chapter 9. And when you get to Luke, keep your finger there or your bulletin there or something there, because our text for this morning will actually be Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter number 9, I want you to notice verse 57. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 9, and notice verse number 57. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, I want you to notice verse 9, okay? And he said unto another. Now, he starts talking to someone else. Now, don't miss that, because here's the point. The guy comes up, the guy walks up, he says, I'll follow you, I'll go with you, whithersoever you go. Jesus says, that's great, that's good, get on board. Let me warn you, I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight. Let me warn you, you know, Jesus wasn't exactly Billy Graham, you know what I mean? I mean, he wasn't exactly Benny Hinn, he's not Joel Osteen. Someone told me, I think Brother Graham told me, Joel Osteen every Sunday brings in $600,000 or something. Jesus is not exactly, you know, a televangelist. I mean, he's like, I'm not staying at the Marriott tonight. You know, I don't have a private jet. You want to get on my crusade? We might be sleeping on the ground. We might be pitching a tent. You know, it might be uncertain. It might be we just don't know. Can you handle that? Now notice The conversation ends right there. Because in verse 9, and he said unto another, follow me. In verse 9, he starts talking to another guy. It's like, he says to the guy, I'm not sure where I'm staying. And he's like, where do you go? It's like, next, you know, the conversation's done. This guy's not so excited. And you know what's funny? Keep your finger there in Luke 9. Go back to Matthew chapter 25. Let me show you something. And this doesn't have a lot to do with the sermon this morning, but I just want to show you something that's kind of found throughout Scripture and we found to be true in ministry. Luke chapter 9 is our text this morning. Keep your finger there. Go back to Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, you have the story, the parable of the talents. Remember, Jesus gave that parable of the talents. We'll look at it quickly. Matthew 25, look at verse number 14. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, the Bible says this, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. Matthew 25, look at verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. So there's 3 guys. He gives one 5 talents. He gives one 2 talents. He gives one talent. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. Look at verse 20, Matthew 25, verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents, this is guy number 1. He that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying. So he got 5 talents. He comes back with another 5 talents, has a total of 10 talents. And notice what the Bible says, saying. Here's what he said. He said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Do you see that? Look at verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents. So here's guy number 2. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Now notice, guy number 1 and guy number 2 say the exact same thing, except guy number 1 says 5 and guy number 2 says 2. Did you notice that? They both said this, Lord, I knew thee. Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents or 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 5 or 2 other talents beside them. They both said 16 words when their Lord came back. But notice this, verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent, that's guy number 3, came and said, now notice what this guy says. Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou sowest not, where thou hast not sowed, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in thine earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now here's what I want you to notice. Guy number 1 says 16 words. Guy number 2 says 16 words. They both produce something. Guy number 3 produced nothing, and he said 43 words to the Lord there. So what's the point you're trying to make? Here's the point I'm trying to make. Usually the guy that talks the most does the least. I mean, usually a guy who says, oh, you know, I'll follow you wherever you go. Just like, well, I'm not really sure what we're saying tonight. I gotta go check on my, I got something to do. Because see, it's easy to talk big. It's easy to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But you know what? Usually whoever's talking the most is usually doing the least. Can you get back to Matthew chapter 8? Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 21. And I just want to warn you, don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. We have people, I've said this before, we have people show up here, you know, first time guests, and they'll talk to me after service, don't meet me out there. This is the greatest church ever. This is the greatest preaching this is amazing. I'm coming back tonight. I'm coming back early. I'll be back Wednesday. I want to get involved in soul week. Can I drive that van? I've literally had a first time guest said to me, can I drive that van next week? And here's what I think to myself. Whenever someone just talks real big, here's what I think to myself. I'm never going to see that guy again. I mean, I had a guy come and say, I just retired from the military. He said, I'm about 40 years old, and I've got nothing to do. I want to show up every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He said, I'll give you 8 hours of my day to do anything you want me to do. I was like, man, that's impressive. I got a lot of work you can do. Never saw that guy again. You know, a visitor says, that was a great sermon, thanks, and walks out the door. I think, so they may come back. You know why? Because usually the guy that talks the most does the least. Usually the guy that says all these impressive things is actually not going to accomplish anything. That's human tendency. Don't be that guy that's just always just, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and you never actually do anything. Because to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and here's what I want to talk about. Look at Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 21. Matthew chapter 8, verse 21. Matthew chapter 8, verse 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot have excuses. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot have excuses. Here you have a man who comes to Jesus and says, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now listen to me. I don't know about you, but if you're going to give an excuse, doesn't that sound like a pretty good excuse? I mean, he says, Lord, you know, I'll follow you. I'll go wherever you go. I don't even care if you don't have a place to stay. I don't care if you're homeless. I don't care if you don't know where you're sleeping. But he says, suffer me first. He says, allow me first to go and bury my father. Now, look, that sounds like a pretty good excuse. I mean, the guy's like, my dad, you know, I need to bury him, and then I'll follow you. But I want you to notice the response of Jesus, verse 22. But Jesus said unto him, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. Now, do you understand what just happened here? This guy says to Jesus, hey, I'm going to follow you, but let me go bury my dad. And Jesus says, no, if you're going to follow me, let the dead bury their dead. Now notice verse 23, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Now the disciples that followed him were the ones that were already with him. These two guys did not follow Jesus. Now, if you read that story, you think to yourself, man, why is Jesus being so mean? Jesus being uncompassionate here. Why does he not allow him to go bury his father? I mean, if you have an excuse to why you can't do something, this is a pretty good excuse. And here's what you got to understand. Keep your finger there, or I don't know if we're coming back to Matthew 8, actually. Don't keep your finger there. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Here's what you got to understand, okay? We are prone to make excuses. We are prone to make excuses. And Jesus looks at this man, and he's not very compassionate. He's not very nice. I mean, when I would read this, you know, when I was a newer Christian, I realized, I think, what's Jesus' problem? Why won't he let him bury the dead? Now, if you really think about it, honestly, you know, I wonder, you know, about this guy. Because here's my thing. If your dad's dead, why aren't you at home? You know, you're going to go hang out with Jesus, and then Jesus says, okay, follow me. And he's like, oh, I got to go bury my dad. You know, I'm questioning whether, is your dad even dead? I mean, is your dad even sick? You know, I mean, are you just talking about like in the future, like 20 years from now when your dad dies, you know? I don't know. But go to Genesis chapter 3. Here's what I want you to see. We are prone to make excuses. It is human nature to give excuses. It is human nature. Here's what the word excuse means. To release from an obligation or duty. To seek or obtain exemption or release for oneself. A reason as to why it's not your fault. That's what an excuse is. Now, I want you to understand this. It is human nature for us to make excuses. It is natural for us to make excuses. It is normal for human beings to give excuses. Genesis chapter 3 shows us the first humans on planet Earth when they messed up, when they sinned. And I want you to notice what they did. Genesis chapter 3 should be fairly easy to find. First book in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Remember, God had told them you're not allowed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan comes as a serpent, and he begins to talk to her, and he begins to cast out, and he says, hath God said, and he says, you can't eat of it, it's fine. Now notice, when she fell for that, look at the last part of verse 6, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That was the first sin. They disobeyed God. She took of the fruit, she ate of it, and then she gave to her husband, and he ate of it with her. Verse 7, and the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice, verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And I want you to notice, here's human nature. Here's what Adam does, verse 12. And the man said, notice what he says, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave of me of the tree, and I did eat. What's he doing? Not my fault, God. It's that woman. She baked an apple pie, you know. She brought me that thing, and I did eat. Look, he begins to blame the woman, and not only that, he begins to blame God. He says, the woman that thou gavest to be with me. He said, that wife you gave me, God. And I want you to notice, this is human nature. Human nature say, it's not my fault. It's so-and-so. They did it. They made me do it. They brought it to me. Look at verse 13. You see, the ladies are all like, yeah, pastor, you tell that guy. He's always blaming me for things. Look at verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the devil made me do it. He knows what he said. And the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Adam says it's her fault. She says it's his fault. And they begin to give excuse. Isn't that what we do? We sin. We do wrong. Say, it's not my fault. You don't understand. If you knew what I was going through, if you knew my position, if you knew the wife that I had, or the husband that I have, or the children that I have, or the job that I have, if you understood, and here's what you got to get. It is human nature to make excuses. It is human nature to give ourselves a way out. It is human nature to say, it's not my fault. I didn't do it. I couldn't avoid it. And by the way, this is the reason your finances are in order. This is the reason you know we can't lose weight. This is the reason you don't show up on time. This is the reason you can't hold down a job. This is the reason you're addicted to whatever you're addicted to. This is the reason that we're not faithful to church. This is the reason that we're not faithful to soul winning. This is any reason we fail in this world is because we give excuses. Well, here's why I couldn't do it. Here's why I couldn't be faithful to my spouse. Here's why I couldn't, show up when I was supposed to. Here's why I couldn't tell the truth in that situation. You got to understand this. It is human nature for us to make excuses for why we can't do what we're supposed to do. Go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. If you get back to Luke, not Luke chapter 9, but look at Luke chapter 14. This is all kind of introduction. We're about to get into the sermon in a minute, but I just want to make one more point about excuses. It is normal for us to say, when I've failed, it's not my fault, here's why I failed. It's not, you understand, if you the home that I grew up in, and I'm not, some of you have grown up as a messed up homes, but listen to me, at some point you're going to have to just own up and say, well, this is my life, and this is where I'm at now, and yeah, someone might have hurt me, or someone might have done me wrong, or someone might have set me up for failure, but at some point, we've got to stop giving excuses, because excuses are the reasons we fail. Excuses are the reasons we mess up. Excuses are the reasons we don't go forward in life, because we're constantly excusing our behavior. Adam, what did you do? No, the woman made me do it. Eve, what did you do? The serpent, he made me do it. Are you there in Luke chapter 14? Look at verse 15. Let me say this. There's no excuse for not being saved. Luke chapter 14, verse 15, the Bible says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. This guy's talking to Jesus. He says, hey, the guy that goes to heaven, the guy that eats bread in the kingdom of God, he's blessed. Now that statement prompts Jesus to tell a parable. Verse 16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. This is about salvation. And bade many, and sent his servants, at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent, notice this, began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Now listen, the picture here is salvation, that they are to come to this great supper in order to be saved, but they make excuses why they cannot make. And by the way, here's what you got to understand, and listen to me. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to help you this morning, but listen to me. Every excuse is a bad excuse. I mean, that's what Jesus thought. You say, because here's what we think. We think, oh, bad excuses are bad, but if I've got a good excuse, then that one will get me through. Can you get a better excuse than I got to go bury my dad? And Jesus says, no, follow me. See, every excuse is a bad excuse. There's no good excuse. Someone said this, excuses are like feet. Everybody's got a couple and they all stink. You know, I mean, excuses are not good. And these people, their excuses weren't good. Notice what they said. They all with one consent, verse 18, began to make excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of ground, I must needs go see it. Now let me ask you this, who buys a house and doesn't see it before they buy it? Who buys a piece of ground and doesn't see it? He said, I bought a piece of ground, I got to go see it. This guy said, I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. You know, I don't know, the equivalent for us would be like buying a car without, I bought a car, I got to go test drive it. Who buys a car without first test driving it? The other guy says, verse 20, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, I don't know about you, but when my wife and I first got married, anyone invited us out to eat, we were there. You know what I mean? I mean, we're broke. We didn't have couches. We didn't have dining room tables. We didn't have anything. You invited us out to eat. This guy said, I just got married, and you're reclining a free meal? Here's the point. There is no excuse. And especially when it comes to salvation, go to Romans chapter 1. We're about ready to get out of the introduction and get into the sermon. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You're there in Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. When it comes to salvation, there is no excuse to not be saved. If you are here this morning and you say, I don't know. If I died right now, I don't know that I would go to heaven. The Bible says you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. There is no excuse to die and go to hell. When Jesus died on the cross for your sin, when you come to church like Verity Baptist Church, they can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. There's no excuse. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 19. He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. He says, look, what you can know about God, God has already shown it through nature. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, notice this, without excuse. No one will stand before God and say, I didn't know. You have the opportunity. You have the opportunity. And you say, well, what about, you know, these people and these, you know, jungles somewhere? Okay, here's the thing. We're not talking about them. We're talking about you. You're here right now. You have the opportunity to have someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You will have no excuse. Don't leave here today without knowing for sure you're saved. We'd love to show you. And by the way, it has nothing to do with your religion. It has nothing to do with how good of a person you are. It has nothing to do with going to a Baptist church or being baptized or anything. It has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ and your faith in him. There's no reason to die and go to hell. You will stand without excuse. And people like to say, I don't have time for this. Well, go to Luke chapter 9. I'll tell you a story. People often say to me, what about these people? What about these people in these jungles that have never heard the name of Jesus? What about these people in Africa that have never heard the name of Jesus? What about these people in the Amazon jungles that have never heard the name of Jesus? You know, I doubt that there's people in Africa that have never heard the name of Jesus. You know how many hundreds of years missionaries have gone all around this world preaching the name of Christ? I remember one time, so for those of you that don't know this, I was born in Venezuela. My family's from Venezuela. I was actually born there, and we moved to the United States when I was 4 years old. I remember one time my cousin came to visit. My aunt and cousins came to visit from Venezuela. I was 15 years old. I think my cousin was 18 years old. We were out soul winning, knocking on doors, inviting people to church. And this lady, I'm giving the gospel to this lady, and this lady, you know, she heard the whole gospel. She said, I understand it. She said, I heard it. She said, I cannot believe what you're showing me from the Bible. I cannot believe that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. And I said to her, why? Why can't you believe that? She said, well, I just can't believe. She said, I've got to believe that people can be saved outside of Christ. She said, I've got to believe that other people can also go to heaven without believing in Jesus. Because I was telling her, you know, the Bible, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I was telling her, you know, the Bible says about Jesus said that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I was telling her, you must believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And she said, I can't believe that. She said, I can't believe that. It must be through Jesus. And I said, why? And this is what she said to me. This is an honest truth. She said to me, what about those people in the Amazons of Venezuela that have never heard of Jesus? I scratched my head and I said, well, I was born in Venezuela and this guy just got here from Venezuela 2 weeks ago and we're knocking on your door trying to give you the gospel. And she just slammed the door, you know. Here's the thing. There's no excuse. There's no excuse to not be saved. No one will stand before God and say, I just didn't know, I just didn't have the opportunity. The Bible says that if you can call and you say, well, what about this hypothetical? Why don't you worry about the real person sitting in that chair right now and the fact that you need to be saved? Luke chapter 9. That's all introduction. Let's get to the sermon. Luke chapter 9. Here's the problem with excuses. Remember mean old Jesus? Jesus, why won't you allow that guy to go bury his father? I mean, that's a pretty good excuse. And Jesus says, no, I won't take it. And now notice what Jesus says, Luke chapter 9, verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Now, here's what's interesting. He says, Lord. Lord means you're the boss. He says, Lord, suffer me first. Now, here's what's interesting. If you're first, then he's not Lord. Do you understand that? The Bible says that in all things, he should have the preeminence. The Bible says, seek ye out first the kingdom of God. The Bible says Jesus should come first. This guy says, Lord, you're my boss. You're my master. But can I go first? And Jesus says, you're already off the wrong track. Your priorities are already out of whack. He says, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Now, notice what he said. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, here's what you got to understand, okay? Here's the problem with excuses. Excuses will keep you unproductive. Excuses will keep you unproductive. You say, what are you talking about? Here's what you got to understand, okay? There's a spiritual application to this phrase, let the dead bury their dead. And here's what it means. The fact that unbelievers are dead. They're not quickened. They're spiritually dead. And he says, you know what? Let the dead bury the dead. But there's a practical application here too. Here's what you got to understand, okay? When you're dead, you're not active. You're not knowledgeable. You're not, look, if I died, I would not be aware and or care about how many people showed up to my funeral. Would you agree with that? I mean, if you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing else you can do about it. There's nothing else you, it doesn't matter. Now, here's what he's saying. He says, let the dead go bury the dead. Here's what he's saying. You want to go and do something that will produce nothing. He said, you know what? You should have gone and visited your dad while he was alive. He said, you should have gone and taken, you know, my dad often said, he says, don't bring flowers to us when we're dead. You know, bring me flowers while I'm alive so I can enjoy them. And it's true. I mean, if you're dead, your dad's not going to know you're not there. Your dad's not going to, now here's what you're saying, okay? He says, let the dead bury their dead. Now notice this. Here's the contrast. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He says, you want to go emphasize and invest your time into something that produces nothing. He said, I want you to go and preach the kingdom of God and emphasize and invest into something that produces something. He says, let the dead that are doing nothing, deal with the dead that are doing nothing, but you go do something. Because here's what you gotta understand. When I make excuses, it keeps me with the dead. It keeps me unproductive. It keeps me accomplishing nothing. Because here's the thing. When I go and bury a dead body, I've done nothing. I've changed nothing. I've accomplished nothing. He's not happy. He doesn't even know. You say, I don't understand. I'm not getting it. Do you want to know why Pastor Jimenez doesn't follow sports at all? And I'm not, look, if you follow sports, I'm not against you. But you know why I could care less about sports? You know why I have no idea what season it is right now? I don't know if it's baseball season, football season, soccer season. I could care less. You know why? Like, I don't even know who played the Super Bowl, who won the Super Bowl, who won the World Cup, who won whatever. You know why? You don't know the honest truth? Here's why. Because it doesn't matter. Because whoever, if the 49ers won the Super Bowl this year, it changes nothing, it accomplishes nothing, nothing happened, nothing changed, nothing was done. Do you understand that? You say, I'm going to go spend all my time. You know, I was at the bank and I was at the register, you know, doing the thing. There was these two guys in front of me. They started arguing. You know, one had a Raiders shirt, one had a 49ers shirt. They were arguing. Well, we traded so-and-so and we traded this guy and we're going to be. I'm looking at this guy, I'm thinking, you're 400 pounds, you didn't do nothing. Well, we won. You didn't win nothing. You sat there and drank a beer and watched other people do something. You're being mean. I'm just trying to help you out. We emphasize nothing. We invest into nothing. And then we wonder why we accomplish nothing. Brother Clint was telling me about at his work, these grown men talking about these, I don't know what they're talking about, these TV shows. And they're all into it. Like, can you believe so-and-so did this? Can you believe she said that? Can you believe they killed this guy? He wants to walk up to them and say, you know, it's not real. She didn't actually say that. She just read that off a script. That guy didn't actually die. He's just acting. It's not real. But we get so caught up. And in the United States of America, Satan has done a great job to get us caught up in this fantasy world where it's all about these movies. Look, I'm not against you having recreational time. I'm not against you playing sport. But listen to me. Kids are taught to spend hours in front of a television, you know, playing a video game about throwing a football. Why don't they go outside and actually pick up a football and throw it? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? These people, they play these games on their phones. They're building a business on their phone in this game. Why don't you go actually start a business? You know, it's like they play these games where they're like building a farm. You got to go plant something in the backyard. You actually got to do something. Here's the point. We spend our time on nothing. We do nothing. We emphasize nothing. We play games. We do nothing. And then you wake up one day and you say, man, I haven't done nothing. What have I done with my life? Nothing. I've watched a whole lot of movies, but I've done nothing. And Jesus says, hey, if you want to follow me, I don't need nothing. I need something. He says, if you want to follow me, he said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, if you want to follow me, let the people that are doing nothing with their lives continue to do nothing with their lives. Don't waste your time with those people. He said, be productive. He said, I don't want to hear your excuses. He said, get to work. Do something. He said, go with me. I'm about to go preach. Go with me. I'm about to go heal people. Go with me. I'm about to go produce something. I'm about to go accomplish something. Say, why would Jesus not take the excuse? Here's why. And listen, you say, I've already not been listening. Just listen to this one statement, okay? I spent an hour just on this one statement I'm going to give you right now, all right? Once you give in, I'm just kidding, I didn't spend an hour. Once you give in to any excuse, you give yourself permission to give in to every excuse. Do you understand what I just said? Once you give in to any excuse, you give yourself permission to give in to every excuse. See, if you're on a diet and you've been following your diet, and then there's a tub of ice cream there, and you say, I'm just gonna take one spoonful of ice cream. Listen to me, before the day's over, you'll eat that whole tub. You know why? Because as soon as you give yourself permission to just give, I just have one excuse. I just do this one time. As soon as you give in to one excuse, you'll bring him into the next excuse. You'll give in to the next excuse. You'll give in to the next excuse. And this guy shows up and says, I'll follow you, Jesus. And Jesus says, great, come with me. And he says, I gotta go bury my dad. He said, I can't have any excuses. Well, that's a good excuse, Jesus. I know, but we can't even go down that road because as soon as I give in to one, I'll give in to another one. And I'll give in to another one. And I'll give in to another one. Hey, by the way, this is why, you know, years and years and years ago, before I ever became a pastor, my wife and I, we made a decision that we will not skip church for any reason. I mean, the only reason we would ever skip church if we were like just, you know, dying on our deathbed. You know, we just will not skip church. And even when we're not here, even when my wife and I are on vacation and I have, you know, one of these guys preach for me, even when we're out of town, we'll find the church and we'll go to church. Say, why do you do that? Because as soon as I give myself a reason to miss church once, I'll give myself a reason to miss church twice. And before you know it, you know, people say, well, I'm only going to miss church for this one time. And we see it all the time. They miss once and they're back. Then they miss two, then they're back, you know, for a few weeks and they miss again. Before you know it, you never see them again. And here's why. Because as soon as you give in to one excuse, you've given yourself permission to give in to every excuse. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you can't give in to any excuse, ever, no matter how good it is. Because as soon as you give in once, you'll give in again. The problem with excuses is they keep you unproductive. The problem with excuses, see, here's what you got to understand. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. Just, I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to help myself out. God says that we are all of the same blood. Listen to me. If anyone can build a business, then that means everyone can build a business. Do you understand that? If anyone can lose weight, then that means everyone can lose weight. If anyone can save and be disciplined with their finances, then we can all save and be disciplined with our finances. If anyone can accomplish anything great for God, then we can all accomplish something great for God. But what's the difference between the guy that does and the guy that doesn't? This guy gives into excuses. He says, well, here's the reason I couldn't do it. And here's the reason I couldn't budget. Here's the reason I couldn't go soul winning. Here's the reason I couldn't be faithful. Here's the reason I couldn't. See, if I had the wife they had, or if I had the job they had, or if I had. No. You have the same God they have. Don't give in to excuses. As soon as you give in to one, you'll give in to all. Here's the other problem with excuses. Luke chapter 9, look at verse 61. Luke chapter 9, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. So here's another guy. He says, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. He says, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but let me go say bye to my mom. He says, okay, bye to my kids. Now, please understand this. Remember, Jesus already gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Do you remember that from the beginning? He already said, hey, we're leaving. Then these guys say, hey, I want to go with you. And he says, okay, you can come with me. And they said, but can you wait while I go do this? And Jesus said, you're already holding me up. You're already stopping me. Now, here's what you're saying. Notice what Jesus said, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. See, not only do excuses keep you unproductive, excuses keep you uncommitted. Jesus said, look, you're either going to commit to me or you're going to commit to mom. He said, you're either going to come with me or you're going to go back home, but we're not going to sit here and wait. Here's what I'm trying to help you. Here's what I'm trying to help you understand. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you cannot have excuses. Here's statement number two. Excuses may make your conscience feel better, but they do not make your life better. Excuses may make your conscience feel better, but they do not make your life better. Listen to me. I may be able to give you all these excuses as to why I couldn't, you know, save money and budget and get out of debt. I could give you all the reasons. I could tell you, well, I'm a pastor. I don't make a lot of money. Look at my phone. I have to rubber band it to keep it together. I mean, good night. You know, there's a reason that I could not get my financial, you know, home in order. I could give you those excuses. They may be good excuses. You might say, oh, yeah, man, it's tough to be in the ministry. Good night. Now, here's the thing. It may make you feel better, but you know what? At the end of the day, I'm still broke. When I'm ready to retire, I still don't have any money. See, you could give me all the excuses. Well, here's why I couldn't exercise, and here's why I couldn't lose weight, and here's why I couldn't, you know, diet, and here's why. Give me all the excuses, but at the end of the day, you're still unhealthy. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? You can give me all the excuses. Why? Well, here's why I couldn't go soul-winning. Here's why I couldn't read my Bible. Here's why I couldn't pray. Here's why I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do for God. But at the end of the day, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have no excuse. Because they might make you feel better, but they don't make your life better. And as soon as you give into an excuse, and as soon as you say, here's why I couldn't do X, Y, and Z, you've actually disqualified yourself from being a follower of Jesus Christ. Because a follower of Christ can have no room for excuses. Go to Philippians chapter 4. We're done. Right here, Philippians chapter 4. You're there in Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Guys will come up to me. Say, I want to start a church, and I want to be a pastor. I want to preach and get my sermons on the internet and be on YouTube. I think to myself, let's work on being faithful to church, you know. Let's work on reading your Bible once, you know. Let's work on not making these excuses, because I'm here to tell you, anyone who ever accomplishes anything does it because they allow for no excuse. And anyone who ever fails at anything does it, they fail because they allowed excuse. Because when you allow for one, you'll allow for all. And they may make you feel good, but they don't make your life better. You say, well, why is Jesus so mean to these guys? This guy said, let me just go say bye to my mom. I just want to say bye to mama. And he says, no, I'm leaving. You can come with me or you can go back home. Say, why is Jesus so mean? Here's why Jesus is mean. Because here's an excuse. An excuse is telling Jesus and telling God why you can't do something. Now listen, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We'll run right here. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. See, when you come to Jesus and you say, I can't do it, he says, you can do it through me. See, here's the thing. You can't do anything. I can't be a good parent. I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good pastor. I can't do anything on my own. But I can do all things through Christ. But when I stand up and say, here's why I couldn't do it. Here's why I couldn't be faithful. Here's why I couldn't show up. Here's why I couldn't be consistent. Here's my excuse. Here's my reason. Here's why I couldn't. Here's what you're saying. I couldn't do it because you didn't help me, Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, it wasn't my fault because you can do all things through me. I can do all things. Someone said this, I can makes a great man. I can makes a great man. I can makes a great woman, I guess. I don't know. Hey, I can. Don't get this attitude. I can't. I can't. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't. No. Get this attitude. I can't. I can't. I can't. I will. I can't. I am a overcomer through Jesus Christ. I am a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I have power through Jesus Christ. It's not about you. See, as soon as you give an excuse, it becomes about you. But Jesus said, no, I can't. Through Christ, which strengthened me. So here's the question I have for you. Will you overcome your excuses, or will you be overcome by your excuses? See, you have something God's been dealing with you about. You have something that you know God wants you to do, or God wants you to stop doing, or God wants you to get victory over, or God wants you to take this step, or God wants you to take that step. There's something that the Holy Spirit's been talking to you about for this service or for weeks or whatever it is, and you've been giving God excuses. And you've been trying to convince yourself and God why I can't do that and I can't do this and you can't expect that from me and you don't understand if I had this and if I had that. And I want to challenge you this morning. Find that excuse that's holding you back. And just decide today, I'm going to tear that thing down. I will not put up excuses. There's no reason why I can't stop. There's no reason why I can't start. There's no reason why I can't do. There's no reason with Jesus I can do it. So will you overcome your excuse? Or will you be overcome by your excuse? Because there's only one or the other. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father.